I think I've always wanted to know more about how the brain works.
It's a story that started when I was a PhD student.
As scientists, what are we if we're not asking the big, hard questions?
It feels like the more we learn, the more we realize we still need to learn.
Such an interesting question about the dialogue between philosophy and neuroscience.
It's an exciting time in terms of having these alternative technologies.
We're in the phase where we're understanding how the brain works.
I think we will undoubtedly change human lives.
Welcome to FENS Voices, the official platform of the Federation of European Neuroscience Societies, where we give a voice to the neuroscience community. I'm Quaid, your host for today's episode. Join me as I dive into the FENS IBROPERG Exchange Fellowship Program, an initiative that allows early career neuroscientists to enhance their research skills and broaden their networks at a lab in another European country. To find out more about this opportunity, I'll be speaking to three exchange fellowship grantees about their experiences in Portugal, the UK, and France. They'll share their stories and advice from their time abroad and hopefully inspire anyone interested in applying to take a courageous next step.
I think that it should be very important for every researcher to go at least for a short period abroad just to broaden the perspective.
It has really given me a very nice and realistic view into how it is to be a researcher day to day.
When I discuss with people that they are in the field, when I tell them that, okay, I managed to pass cells throughout my fellowship, they are impressed. And I am impressed by this achievement, not because of me, because of them, because of the whole team, because it was a teamwork that made the dream work.
Have you ever dreamed of going abroad to conduct neuroscience research? Do you feel like working in a lab in a foreign country would be exactly the boost that your career needs? Well, good news, there's a grant for that. Since April 2023, the Federation of European Neuroscience Societies, FENS, has offered exchange fellowship grants in collaboration with the Pan-Europe Regional Committee of the International Brain Research Organization, IBROPERG. These grants are available twice a year, in April and October, and are intended as financial support for early career neuroscientists who want to conduct research and enhance their training in another European country. The grant covers your travel expenses and housing for a stay of no less than 4 weeks and no more than 4 months. If you're a master's student, a PhD student, or an early postdoctoral fellow, you could be eligible to apply, but there are four conditions that you need to meet first. For one, you must be currently based in Europe. For those based in Africa, Asia, or Latin America, don't worry, you can always apply for the more general IBRO Exchange Fellowship Program. Secondly, assuming you are based in Europe, you should also be a member either of FENS, a FENS member society, or an IBRO organization that isn't a member of FENS. If you're not sure which of these applies to you, you can always check the FENS website for a full list of eligible member societies. The third condition is pretty intuitive. If you want to apply for an exchange fellowship grant, you'll need to find a laboratory in another European country that you'd like to spend a few months at. Then you'll need to reach out to the lab and confirm that they are interested and able to host you. Finally, you'll be asked for a recommendation from your home laboratory, essentially someone who can confirm that this grant would be a benefit for you and your career. All right, let's assume that you met the four conditions. What next? Well, you'll need to submit a proposal for the research that you're planning to conduct. When preparing your application, make sure to emphasize the following: the scientific quality of your research, how it would benefit your training as an early career researcher, the concrete outcomes you expect from your fellowship, why you are the right person for this job, and the feasibility of achieving your objectives during your stay. Fairly straightforward, right? Okay, let's imagine you've already reached out to a lab in a country that interests you. Germany, Portugal, France, Sweden, Poland, Italy, you name it. And you're getting ready to prepare your proposal, or maybe you already have. At this point, you might be wondering what exactly you can expect from your time abroad. How long will you be there? Will you receive supervision and guidance during your stay? Will you be in a team with other early career researchers? Where might they be from? Is it 24/7 research, or will they let you out of the lab to experience a bit of the culture too? Of course, we could give you a general overview of what to expect, but it might be easier to just hear about the experience from someone who's actually lived it, right? We thought you might agree, and that's why we have asked three Exchange Fellowship Grant awardees to speak with us about their time abroad and how it benefited their career. Without further ado, let's introduce our guests. First, we have Jovana Aranđelović from the Faculty of Pharmacy at the University of Belgrade, Serbia. Last year, she was awarded an exchange fellowship grant to conduct research at Nova Medical School in Lisbon, Portugal, where she studied synaptic dysfunction in late-onset Alzheimer's disease, AD, under the guidance of Professor Claudia Guimas Almeida. During her stay, she gained hands-on experience using advanced cell culture models, transfection techniques, fluorescence microscopy, and bioimaging analysis. Not only did her research generate data for a future publication, but it also strengthened ties between Nova Medical School and the University of Belgrade. After her return to Serbia, Jovana went on to receive a starting grant from the Serbian Science Fund, which has allowed her to begin her career as a principal investigator, conducting research on metabolic changes in type 2 diabetes and obesity. To kick things off, we wanted to know what got Jovana interested in neuroscience to begin with. Here's what she told us.
Since elementary school, I wanted to study chemistry and become a researcher. However, I was influenced by a professor at the time who told me about not so pleasant situation in science in Serbia at that time. So I decided to study medical biochemistry at Faculty of Pharmacy just to have a backup option if my scientific career fails. I always been fascinated by brain function, cognition, decision-making, processing, and also processing of emotions. So I wanted to do PhD in neuroscience after my integrated academic studies.
Before Jovana ever went to Lisbon, she had the chance to attend a Cahal course on aging and cognition in Bordeaux, France, where she explored her interest in researching neuronal functioning during the early stages of cognitive decline. This was her first real experience with microscopy and cell culture experiments, and her first introduction to Professor Almeida, who would later become her mentor during the exchange fellowship.
I was quite inspired by her career, personality, enthusiasm. So I asked Claudia if she wants to be my mentor and host me for the exchange fellowship in her lab at Nova Medical School in Lisbon. Since our interests were overlapping, she's working on cell culture models of aging and Alzheimer's disease. So we were super happy when I received funding for that research stay.
In September 2024, Jovana arrived in Lisbon, ready to take the next step in her career. What ended up happening over the following months was something bigger and better than anything she had imagined.
The exchange fellowship had a great impact on my professional development because I gained hands-on experience in the neural cell culture for the second time. I did immunocytochemistry, cell treatments, imaging techniques, confocal microscopy. I also improved my soft skills related to writing, project management, implementation.
But Jovana wasn't just stuck in the lab every day. Thanks to Professor Almeida's team, she also got to experience a bit of Portuguese living.
They all accepted me. So we went together for a lunch at noon. In Portugal, it is very strict. So usually you are prepared 10 minutes before 12 p.m. So yes, I experienced their culture. I enjoyed visiting a couple of cities in Portugal. So yes, I can recommend some pastries from Lisbon, for example, Pão de Deus. And what was interesting, because they were organizing a casual Friday party, all PhD students and postdocs and also PIs, they were attending that casual Friday party each Friday. So I wanted to create something like that at my faculty, but I'm not successful yet, but I hope in future that it will come also to Belgrade.
All in all, she told us, the experience ended up being as much about conducting research and learning new skills as it was about building her network and forging new connections with other researchers.
This project really marked my career, and I believe that it is one of the key projects which led me to receive my first starting grant last year. Claudia shared some tips related to improvement of career and so on, so I followed them, so it was very, very valuable. I think that I cannot stress that enough, how these researchers and also people in Lisbon in general, they are super warm and friendly. I would also mention one researcher who impacted me, Natasha Lontarevich. She and my mentor, Claudia Almeida, they served as role models and also helped me a lot during my transition from a postdoc to a PI.
Before letting Jovana get back to her work, we had one last question to ask her. What advice would she give to other early career researchers interested in applying?
I would quote my mentor, Claudia, you have to get things done. I believe that this could be applied for every sphere in life and also to early career scientists who want to develop new skills, especially if they are coming from developing country, such as I am, and he or she has limited opportunities for some advanced skills, to gain advanced skills. So if you are really into science and want to move the field and resolve some scientific question, I believe that you have to work on finding opportunities, applying for opportunities, surround yourself with inspiring people, have connections, learn from all of that people and from previous experiences, and not to expect to be lucky that everything will come to you served. I believe that everything will come to you eventually, but one opportunity leads to another, so you have to work on that. Science is fun, so you have to find the most interesting topic for you to explore and go for it.
Our next guest, Emma Nesbitt, agrees with Jovana. Her advice? Just go for it.
Don't be intimidated. Trust that you have skills, and trust that it's also very valuable if you want to learn and if you're very open about it. And when you come to, and at least for the PIs that I was in contact with, just openly admitting also what I can't do and what I'm willing to learn was, I think, a nice strategy. And then always, I would say, reach out to people who have done it before. Try to get some insight on how to do it all. And overall, just go for it, really, because it's a great experience. And I can just really recommend it to anyone.
In September 2023, Emma packed her bags for Oxford University, where she conducted a two-month exchange fellowship at Professor Charlotte Stagg's Physiological Neuroimaging Group. During her stay, she deepened her expertise in motor learning and motor recovery, while also gaining hands-on experience with transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, wireless electroencephalography, EEG, and data processing using MATLAB and GraphPad Prism. She also contributed to participant recruitment, set up the lab's wireless EEG system, and attended research meetings at the Wellcome Center for Integrative Neuroscience, engaging with scientists from around the world. Since returning from Oxford, Emma has begun her PhD at the Max Planck Institute for Human Cognitive and Brain Sciences, where she focuses on brain behavior interactions and motor control. During the interview, Emma told us how her time in Oxford helped to prepare her for the PhD.
I think it has really given me a very nice and realistic view into how it is to be a researcher day to day, how your tasks really vary. And the great thing was that I was involved in many steps of the study. So I remember being on the phone recruiting participants for the study, but then actually also being there, applying the method, the TMS, and applying also the EEG caps, but then also doing the data analysis and everything. So it was, even though it wasn't a lot of time, I feel like I saw a lot, and it was it prepared me for what it would be like to be a PhD student also, for example. So I think this was, it just motivated me actually even more to pursue this academic route.
When she applied for the exchange fellowship, Emma was still finishing her master's degree in neurocognitive psychology at the Ludwig Maximilians University of Munich, where she explored the links between the brain, behavior, and movement. She was ready for something new and challenging, an opportunity to take her training to the next level, but she didn't want to lose the interdisciplinary focus of her master's program.
I chose specifically the physiological imaging lab because it combines many things. So first of all, because I think the first and foremost reason is that my research interest lays in the field of motor rehabilitation and stroke recovery. I find it very, very fascinating. Also just neural plasticity in general, also in healthy people. So this is why I then started to look at labs that would do something with motor learning and motor recovery. And I was looking also specifically for researchers or labs that also work with humans. That was quite, I found actually quite a few labs in the UK do this. And in at least in my closer field or where I was in Munich, the focus was always more on animal research. So this was one big reason. And then I just loved how specifically at the physiological neuroimaging lab, they combine these three disciplines. So they have experimental psychology or neuroscience and clinical neuroscience, and then also the computational aspect. I think there was a really interesting overlap of those fields. And from what my impression was, they also really had an impact on people's lives, with some of the studies being about actual clinical trials where they were implementing rehabilitation strategies for patients. So I thought that was super fascinating.
Luckily for Emma, the experience lived up to her hopes, not only because the topic of her research related directly to her own interests, but because she was able to master new methods and techniques along the way, all thanks to the guidance of Dr. Ioana Grigoras, Dr. Katarina Zich, and the rest of the team at the Physiological Neuroimaging Lab.
I had never worked with TMS before, with transcranial magnetic stimulation. And this was one major goal, to actually learn about the technique, not only to like apply it, but also to then work with the data that you acquire with it. And it was my first real project where I was working with also then coding in the wider sense. So I was using MATLAB, but for me that was super new and actually very, very useful, because I've been needing the program ever since in every project almost I've been doing. So that was really great.
Electrophysiology to me it's so difficult. It's a huge mountain that I have to climb up. So so by the time I arrived, they were so open. I had so many questions, and I remember one time I had troubleshooting on recording some cells, and we were trying and trying again and again and again, and eventually we managed, and it was super. The excitement was super contagious all over the lab.
That's Sofia Pitsanguraki, our last guest for this episode. In May 2023, while working on her PhD at the University of Crete and IMB Beforth, Sofia received an exchange fellowship grant from FENS and IBROPERC to conduct research at InMed France in Marseille. Like Emma, Sofia went into the internship hoping to advance her training and learn new skills from the researchers at her host lab. In particular, she specialized in electrophysiology, receiving hands-on training in patch clamp recordings of hippocampal interneurons, a technique she didn't have the opportunity to learn at her home institution in Greece.
I can do electrophysiology recordings. This is the top of my achievements, let's say. When I discuss with people that they are in the field, when I tell them that, okay, I managed to patch the cells throughout my fellowship, they are impressed, and I am impressed by this achievement, not because of me, because of the, because of them, because of the whole team, because it was a teamwork that made the dream work. Also, beyond the technical skills that they provided me and the help on those skills, on electrophysiology, to be more precise, they also helped me on troubleshooting different, difficult areas of my project, difficult unsolved problems, let's say. They gave me feedback. So not only in the practical, in the technical skills, but also more theoretical background, let's say.
Sophia's experience in Marseille was an all-round success. As she told us during her interview, it ended up being about much more than just the new skills that she learned in the lab.
The fellowship actually affected me, not affect, actually impacted me on different, on multiple levels, let's say. First of all, scientifically, because I acquired expertise in electrophysiology, because back in Greece, I had never, I have no experience in electrophysiology. And after my fellowship, I gained this experience. And afterward, professionally, because I expanded my network. So I established new collaborations. And also, these collaborations may lead to future research opportunities. We don't know. And finally, in a personal level, because living in a outside my hometown, let's say, and my comfort zone, in a completely different environment, for sure broaden my perspective in international research, in French culture, etc.
Now, almost 2 years and many electrophysiological experiments later, Sophia says that she is still benefiting from the experience and the connections it brought her.
We are in close contact with people from InMed. We are exchanging emails, and also we are trying to expand this project in another one, let's say, to study more profound and also conclude my thesis, let's say, in collaboration. Because if I have a trouble, I always text them and they answer and they are doing the analysis and we are talking and discussing about going again and finish some stuff that I didn't have the opportunity to finish and conclude at first place.
None of this would have been possible without a lot of planning prior to her fellowship, which is why she recommends that other early career researchers think long and hard about what exactly they want to get out of their exchange fellowship before they reach out to a lab or start their application.
Choose the right lab. The lab that aligns their interests and research projects, let's say, and that the lab offers the skills that they want to learn. Also to communicate with the lab before the proposal, to make sure that they have the same, they want the same, to answer the same questions and they are in the same line, let's say. And also to enjoy the trip, enjoy the experience, because it's a magical experience.
That brings us to the end of this episode of FENS Voices. We hope you enjoyed hearing more about the FENS IBROPERC Exchange Fellowship and that you feel even more excited about this opportunity than you did before listening. Whether you're still undecided, you're busy putting together your proposal, or you're already preparing to embark on your exchange fellowship, think back to Jovana, Emma, and Sophia, and their advice for getting the most out of this experience. And perhaps most of all, remember four words of wisdom from our interviewees. Just go for it.